This is The Cross and the Song of Songs, class number 16, and continuing to do Classroom Sheltering in Place together. And I'm just so thankful to be with you and to hunger after the Lord in the spirit of the wife of the Lamb and learning his heart, not just in ways that are teaching, but ways that are through oneness by his very life in us. And so let's pray and see what the Lord has for us tonight. Lord, we thank you for your heart. We thank you for the living word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are writing on the fleshly tables of our heart by your Spirit words that cannot be uttered, things that are written with blood and not with the ink of a pen, Lord. Things that are comprehended deep within us, not by the thoughts of our minds or understandings of carnal man, but the openings of your very being by the Spirit of the living God, Lord, in ways that we can't forget, a face we can't unsee. Lord, that's how we want to be with you in these days. We want to, like Sharon shared yesterday on Skype, we want to shelter in your place. Deep in your heart, Lord, where every word is breathed through oneness, the very kisses of your mouth, Lord, the kisses of your mouth, and we will run together. The virgins love thee, for your love is better than wine, better than life, better than everything. The chiefest among 10,000 you are, Lord, and so we ask that you would just be ministered to even as we seek you tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so I don't know how long this class will go. I know the Lord gave me just a few heart points, and I just want those to resonate as the Spirit writes them on our hearts, and for them to be places where we can be with Him and relate with Him, and it be written in our story. And that we might be written in his story, the Lamb's Book of Life. And it will translate into our relationship with Jesus. May it be so. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons why the Lord has had us linger. He really has had us linger in chapters 2 and 3. And linger with the purpose of finding what his needs are in those chapters. There's just a need, and I believe that the Holy Spirit, that he knows the need of Jesus' heart. He's one, and he, 1 Corinthians speaks of in the second chapter that he searches the depths of God's own spirit, of God's heart and being, and he brings that to us with the purpose of us bringing back to him that same image, that son. And that those things would be found by those who love him, those to whom he freely brings, the things that he searched out of the depths of God's being. And he knows, when we're searching the volumes of the book, like it speaks of, Jesus said, in the volumes of the book, it is written of me. It's in the Psalms, it's in the Lord's heart that he be found in the volume of the book, in the depths. And I know that we come and we approach this song written in script, written in the Word of God, and we're searching the volume of it, the depth of it, but not with our own understanding, but by the very Holy Spirit with dove's eyes. It even speaks of those dove's eyes in the compliments of the bridegroom to the Shulamite, that you have dove's eyes, and that's so beautiful to him. Because he wants her to see who he really is in the depths of his being. And he knows that only the dove, the Holy Spirit, who is symbolized by a dove throughout the Word of God. With Noah's story, when Jesus was baptized, you know those things. But that the Beloved, that the Groom, that Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the true Groom that the Book of Revelation defines to the church. That Lamb Groom, Jesus, he wants to be known in the deepest way possible, in the truest, most real way possible. And that can only happen by dove's eyes, by the Spirit. And so Sometimes we just have to let go. I mean, it can be scary at first. It's so stable understanding the Word of God by a teaching or a doctrine or a denominational, organized, structured adherence. I'm not saying anything negative about any of those things, but that they can become in and of themselves something apart from God Himself, the being, the person, the life. And to begin to know Him by the Spirit doesn't negate the things He's given, His Word, the Scriptures, that we memorize them and learn them and not comprehend them, but that we do it with the freedom that the Spirit's going to take us and fill those things and translate those things from water to wine, if you will, in ways that will blow our mind and change us. Not from us one way to us another way, but literally hit us so deep that it'll end us and bring forth another life. I mean, that's the impact the Spirit brings when He opens the Word and reveals the Jesus that truly is, and the Father alongside unveiling His Son in us. Now you've got a relationship through Jesus Christ with the Father. You've got the Spirit's understanding of who Jesus is from eternal oneness. You've got life on the inside that translates everything you hear and read with the very spirit and nature of that person. And you can't buy that. You can't earn it. You can't get good enough to earn it. It's a gift. It's a gift, but it's given to those who seek Him, who love Him. Not in an earning way. How can we call love something that's not earned? Well, because love doesn't even think about earning. It just loves. If you bring earning and wages into the realm of love, you've moved from the wrong city. You can't, it doesn't work in the economy of the city of love, the New Jerusalem, which is above, the wife of the Lamb. She doesn't take that currency there. She doesn't say, if I'm good enough, then I get to, you know, get to see more and I'm loved more and then there's favor. There's no currency there except the slaughtered lamb and the beauty of His being and those who are willing to, by the blood of the lamb, the word of their testimony, and that they loved not their lives, even unto the death, overcome all that this economy down here would require of them, the law, earning, the soul, grinding out its demands and its injustices and its revenge and its unforgiveness, and it can't be with the Lord. And that currency works in the earth, but it doesn't work in the New Jerusalem, which is above. She has come away. She heard the heart cry of the bridegroom in chapter 2, verses 14 and on, that said, rise up, my love, and come away. She did. Come up here. Come unto me. She came up out of that earth, that soulish earth, that self-aware earth, that earning mentality that has to be so structured and has to keep her, because she can't survive without the parameters of her world bringing stability. She left it. She left father and mother just like he did to come down to be with her. She left that, her father, her mother, her understanding, her world, her security systems, her needs to be fed in a certain way, her soul's, all that stuff that required a certain amount of attention, a certain amount of recognition, a certain amount of revenge and all that. She left that whole economy, not because it was right, wrong, and different, because she wanted to be with him in his place, in his kind, in his new heaven and new earth, which is the heart of the Lamb of God, you know, above the heavens and above the earth, him. She wanted to leave that because she loved him more than her own life and all the things in this world and its economy down here. She left. Goodbye. I'm leaving, packing my bags. Oh, we are so not sharing what my notes say. But she left. She said, you know, hey, it's been fun, not really. Life's rough, living for self. My soul's a monster, it's a beast, it's a roaring lion, it's all of the above. And I don't want to feed it, and I don't want to live in a realm where it's being enthroned, and I don't want to be in a place that requires of him to constantly attend to me in this form. When he died and I was crucified with him, buried with him, and raised up together with him, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places, in his world, his realm. I want to go there. I want to be, exist, live, and move, and have my being in him whom my soul loveth, whom I love more than life. The virgins love thee. Thy love is better than life. They loved not their life. They counted not their lives precious to themselves. They loved him even unto death. It's all wife talk, wife of the lamb talk. Crazy, crazy in love with the lamb people. They do stupid things they shouldn't do. Like, you know, forgive their enemies. Like not hold their debtors. Like not account everybody's wrong and secretly have vendettas and measure themselves by each other. She measures everything by him. And then she wants him to fill everything so that he gets all the glory and that every eye beholds him and that we all just behold the Lamb and everyone just cast their crowns and their, yeah, and they give him all and let him be all and in all. And all things were for his pleasure, not her pleasure. She's willing to go through anything down here to manifest how beautiful he is and to give him fellowship in his internal nature and his sufferings and the ways of his being, to be able to express himself down here without being reduced down to having to make everything perfect down here for her soul and her selfishness. I have to get everything made perfect because it's all about me and my soul doesn't like this and I can't forgive and things have to be a certain way and I have to be seen by man a certain way. Her whole desire is, my place is with you. I've left earth in my heart, in my mind, in my soul, in my inward parts. I've left the earth where I'm in your realm now, Jesus, where you raised us up together in you. You put me in these heavenly places in your heart. You told me in chapter 2, my beloved, my dove, my undefiled, you are in the secret places of the stair. You're in the cleft of the rock. You're in my wounded side. You're in the secret places, the places where I know because I know my own bones, that none of them shall be broken, that as I died, I knew who was coming out of this. She was out from man, woman, out from man. The church out from Christ, but out from him how? As bone of his bone, as flesh of his flesh, as one who bears his image, his life, his nature, his kind. He goes, I know who you are. But now you're finding out who you are, who you've always been in my heart. But now you're discovering it. Because why? Because the Spirit's coming to you. And he's awakening you to who I am, who I really am, and therefore who you really are. Because I'm in you and you're in me. This is who we are. Because I am your life. And you are my body. And I am the place you live. And I want to dwell down you in that place. So come up here and I'll go down there. You abide in me, Jesus said in John 15, and I'll abide in you. And you can be with all swallowed up of life. And I'll be all swallowed up of the death down there. And it'll be beautiful. Because I'll go into those situations that your soul couldn't handle. And I can handle it in you, but it'll be me. That's the beauty of oneness. It's no longer I. But Christ, I'll go into that thing. And I know how to love my enemies, boy, oh boy. I know how to resist temptation. I know how to go with my Father. I know how to set my mind and heart on the things that are eternal. I know how to redeem those moments for the heart of my Father. I know. You don't, but you've got me. I'm your life, and I will manifest. I will. I have no idea how we got here. I have no idea. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit, he's taking us into the places where the bridegroom needs us. And she's leaving the safe confines of her little bedroom that we talked about so many times was just a shrine to the one who was gone or behind the wall or peeking through the window, but certainly not filling. Because that wasn't his, that little room of correct doctrines or how things must be done to be the Lamb or Christian or proper or just or the way they should be. That little room, that little dark room that she's in at the end of chapter 2. The little dark room with stuffy air where the dove can't, it's like the bottom of the ark. In that room at the end of chapter 2 in the Song of Solomon, the dove can barely breathe in it. It's just, there's so little freedom for him. He's imprisoned in that stench of the carnal mind and the selfish soul and the limitations he has there. And Jesus is outside the wall, so we know he's out in, you know, time out in rejection land. He's outside the camp. And she put him there. But let me tell you, when she opened that door in the first verse of chapter 3, and she got out of that stuffy little safe, not safe, she was dying in there. That living relationship of love and oneness, and the Lamb possessing her inward parts and manifesting in his glory to the Father and to loving others and all that beauty. That was dying in her in that room of safety. And she realized it. So she got out of that. She got bust a move. And she said, I want to know, like David said, I want to know the living God. I want to know the living God. That's my birthright. He died so I could enter in to life, to relationship, to eternal love, to the relationship between the Father and the Son, to the flowers and the trees that blossom, to the blood-filled altars that scream out all glory to the Lamb, to the incense that rises in the fragrance of his nature and perfumes the Father's heart and fills his nostrils and causes him to dance for joy, and the beauty that fills the heavens when one will yield to his eternal spirit in this selfless giving, even unto death. My Lord, all these things are my heritage, they're my birthright. He died for that to pass on to his seed, which seed is Christ in us. But that little room was stealing it all away, replacing this incredible birthright with a little shrine, a candle and an idol and a picture and a memory and a doctrine and a teaching, all one-dimensional on a chalkboard in a book, on a picture, a song, you name it, I don't know. She's like, I don't want the idols and the images. I don't want the shadows. You know, at that point, before she bust to move out of that room, she said, you know, until the shadows flee away, you rise up, my love. You go leap on the mountains of Bethair. I'm going to just, you know, hang back. I can't. I need to wait. And he's like, lady, those shadows and idols and doctrines that have no life, they're never going to flee away if you stay in your little safe place. You're stuck. That's the breeding ground for Shadowland. Shadowland thrives in safe little dark rooms that our soul feels so protected and our religion is so preserved and our false spirituality is so, oh yes, blessed and affirmed. But he's not there. He's not there. And she is far from the realities that any wife of the Lamb would hunger for, pay all for. Well, it's just a few verses by the time we're in chapter 3 and she's going, I'm running. These shadows aren't going to flee away until I get up and get out of this room. And she did that. She did that. And she said, I am in search of the living God. I am in search of the fulfillment, not in a doctrinal way, but in the filling full of me way. And you know who saw that? The Lord. The Lord's watching. The eyes of the Lord seek to and fro. The eyes of the Lord. They catch that. They catch that. You say, I'm sheltering in place. I mean, I'm seeking God, but no one's seeing it. Well, we all know that that's a selfish thought to even think, but what we are that apart from Christ. But apart from that, it's for his eyes that we seek him. We want to catch the eye of the Lord. We don't want to catch the eye of the pastor. We don't want to catch the eye of our peers around us. We don't want to catch the eye of the leader we're trying to impress and serve, which we should be serving the living God. We don't want to impress whatever people that may think we're spiritual that we minister to. It's the eye of God that we want to catch his eyes. And when she got out of that bed, she caught his eye. He's like, oops, she's serious. Let me ask you this. If someone had to knock on her door, Shulamite, it's 10 o'clock, time to seek Jesus. Shulamite, are you awake? Shulamite. Oh, yeah, I'll be there in a minute. I'm just kind of groggy. I've been, just kind of snuggling in my little safe zone. Shulamite, he's leaping on the mountains. God's really moving. The Spirit of the Lord is just, oh, my Lord, he's like the wind, but it's more like a hurricane. Come on. I know. Yeah, I know. I'm not sure that's for me, but I can't think when I'm this tired. Can I just get back with you? Could you go ahead and knock again in 15 minutes? 10:15. Shulamite, the bridegroom cometh. I know, but you know what? I'm tired. Could you come back at 11? My body, it's just not like other people's. And in my mind, it takes time to warm up. And maybe if a cup of coffee, come back at 11. Shulamite, the bridegroom is so excited. The messengers are crying out his heart. Shulamite, he's moving. Something's happening. The spirit knows, but now the townsfolk know and the messengers know too. The word's coming like never before. Shulamite, you're still in that room, all stuck with you're missing him. You're going to miss. Oh, okay. I guess I'll come at noon. Noon's when there's no more shadows, kind of. She walks out at noon. Okay, here I am. My soul is kind of okay with this. My body's awake. Okay. You said the bridegroom cometh? Yeah, he cometh. What? You got your oil? Yeah, because all of us, man, we're full of oil. Man, we've been, every time those messengers spoke, man, we took that oil and we put it in our vessels. Oh my gosh, like the Spirit of God was like literally pouring out of these messengers and it was like filling us up with oil and oh my gosh, like the Holy Spirit has been sharing the heart of God with me. So all of us townsfolk. I mean, like we started, man, it was just a few drops on the bottom. We were like widows with hardly any oil, but oh my gosh, since like 6 o'clock this morning till now noon, like the Spirit of God has been so on these messengers and we've been drinking in every word, not like teaching, but deep into our hearts, letting it sink into our ears. And our vessels are so full. Oh my gosh. I'm seriously like, don't come around me with a lighter because I'm going to start the house on fire. Ha ha ha. I am so full of fresh oil. God has like been doing, he's pouring into us. We've been sitting at his feet, not just hearing teachings, man. We've been getting what the burden of the Spirit of God is for the heart of Jesus' sake. Oh, give me some of that oil. Oh, I don't want to get left out. And besides, I mean, it's scary. I don't want to be by myself with all the other townsfolk gone. I my soul would be uncomfortable then. And where would I sleep? And how would I get all the comfort things that I need for my life to be happy in the earth? Oh, can I buy some from you? What are you talking? You don't buy this oil. That economy doesn't work in love. No, you had to rise up early when the prophets cried out. You had to sit at their feet and listen to the heartbeat of Jesus. And you had to open up your vessel and let the word go deep and let the Spirit pour the lamb into your heart. And so we can light them up, light up these lanterns that we and go into the wedding feast with the bridegroom. The bridegroom's coming. He's coming for his bride. Didn't you know that's what this was all about? It wasn't about teachings. It wasn't about ministries. It wasn't about who's right and wrong. This was also he could get a wife. And he's coming, the bridegroom's, my gosh, he's almost here. Oh, and he's got his door open for everybody who's got the right garments on. Everybody who's full of oil and lit by the first love. Their candles are lit for first love. Oh, we're going to enter into the feast. We're going to be with the Lamb in oneness. Oh, I have to go. The door's open. I'm sorry you don't have any oil. There's nothing I can do for you. It wasn't about me making you love him. It wasn't about me force-feeding you the words from his heart. You chose. You chose to feed your soul and stay safe through a move of the heart of God. And now, I'm sorry, but you're going to miss out on the wedding feast. And the door shuts. Oh, it was those people. They were just... They should have given me the oil. I mean, how rude is that? And can you believe the bridegroom slammed the door on my face? I mean, couldn't he have just like poured out his heart for another 25 years? You know, I mean, I don't know. He's God. I'm just me, frail. He could have had some mercy on me. But no, he has to like... Think about his son who died, this deep death. And the Holy Spirit has to just pour and pour really fast, deeply, deeply, deeply. And all these hungry people. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It doesn't feel fair to me. And boy, the cold darkness that I feel now with all those people partying back there in that chamber with the bridegroom is way worse than what my bedroom felt like. Man, what have I done? I've missed the Lord. I fed my soul. I made excuses. I protected myself. I took it all as doctrine. I didn't hear the heart cry of the bridegroom. I didn't take the Spirit's oil in. I didn't let my first love light it up. And now I'm not ready. And now I'm not ready. I'm not ready for him. Isaiah said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Don't look to the other virgins to give you their oil. Don't ask for someone to make you love him. That's not what happens with brides to be. Stir up that first love. Return to it. Cry out in the night. Pour out your soul before him. Run through those city streets. We're not talking classes. We're not trying to figure scriptures. We're trying to be with the bridegroom, to be attuned to his heart and his season, the season of his heart. This is so not anything that I was going to share tonight on any level. I pray some vestige of it was from the Lord. I just won't even say it was or wasn't, because that's for you to determine. For I have no confidence in this old girl. But if any of it was from the Lord and not just me, it's pretty serious that we don't just go through his love letters as a class or to make us feel safe or spiritual, but to enter in to oneness with the Lamb, to the things his heart longs for. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for calling us to such a feast. Holy Spirit, we thank you for pouring in the oil and the wine and, oh, the love and the living word, and for pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and filling our vessels with oil. Oh, Lord, we thank you for lighting it up with first love, taking it beyond teachings and making it eternal. Who can define first love? But it was so important to you, even at the end. From Jeremiah to Revelation, your heart cried out for that first love, lighting it up, lighting it all up. Oh, and how you've given us a season and a time to prepare ourselves as a wife, to prepare ourselves for the bridegroom, for you. Oh, Lord, may we not be foolish virgins. May we not miss the time of preparation so that we're ready for you, Jesus. So we're ready for you. Not so we're good enough or pass the test, not because of fear motivating us, because love. Love wins the day. Love starts our feet moving and gets our heart on fire and starts, oh, things that we can't even define. They're things of the heart. Let those things, Lord, rise to the surface. They are in us. They're in everybody here, every heart listening. Loves you, Jesus. They love you. They wouldn't even be listening if they didn't love you so much. Let love win the day. Let love press them past their own souls into your heart, into your nature, into your face. And Lord, there are times when we need to hear the knock. And sometimes not the snooze button, but the alarm clock. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Oh Lord, may we tenderly and lavishly and passionately and from the heart feast with you, seek you, revel in you, behold you, find you, know you, be filled with you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all these precious hearts that are gathering to you, Jesus. Bless them. Bless them. Bring them into the fellowship of your being. Not thoughts or teachings or even commands, just you, Lord, and your heart. We ask this for your name, for your sake, for you, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.